Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, we've got some good news for God's people.
Did you know that a lot of people, when it comes to this thing called salvation, they see themselves and they're in a basket, so to speak, and they're being pulled up by a rope, and the rope of salvation is frayed. And at any moment, it could snap. And that's the way many people live out their Christian life. Oh, I don't know. I hope I don't somehow lose my salvation. I hope something doesn't happen that I would stray away from the Lord and cause Him to reject me. I want you to know I reject that totally. The anchor holds, and that rope is never going to break.
There is truth, there is grace, there is hope.
Are you secure in your salvation, or do you feel like it's connected to a frayed rope that could snap at any time? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who today will bring an encouraging message with some really good news. It's the kind that Paul gave to the Thessalonians. It's the four unbreakable links of salvation for the believer. The lesson is one of eight from Pastor Jeff's new series, The Church in the Last Days. Now, this series is also our gift of thanks for your support to From His Heart this month. You can find out more about that when you go to fromhisheart.org. Right now, open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's Pastor Jeff with some really, really good news for God's people.
I heard a story some years ago about a monastery in Europe. And this monastery is very beautiful, and it sat on top of a cliff 3,000 feet up in the air. The only way you could get to this monastery was through a basket. They had this basket that you would sit in, and they would hoist you up, strong men up at the top. They would hoist you up by a rope, one rope that would hoist this basket up, and you could come and see the monastery. Well, there was an American tourist there, and he wanted to see this beautiful monastery, so he went there, and they said, well, you have to get in the basket. And you know, as they would hoist that up, that thing would sway. And so he's in this basket, and he's swaying, and he's about halfway up, 1,500 feet, and he notices the rope. And the rope is kind of old, and the rope is kind of worn, and the rope is frayed. And he gets really nervous, and he yells up to the brothers at the monastery, hey, how often do you guys change the rope? And they yelled down and they said, whenever it breaks. Not a reassuring comment. Did you know that a lot of people, when it comes to this thing called salvation, they see it kind of like that story. They see themselves and they're in a basket, so to speak, and they're being pulled up by a rope, and the rope of salvation is frayed. And it's worn. And at any moment, it could snap. And there's no kind of assurance in that scenario. And that's the way many people live out their Christian life. Oh, I don't know. I hope I don't somehow lose my salvation. I hope something doesn't happen that I would stray away from the Lord and cause Him to reject me. We have denominations that believe their salvation is a frayed, worn rope, and at any moment, it could snap. A pastor in that denomination that believes like that was asked a question by someone in his congregation in a Q&A, and they said, Pastor, what happens to a Christian, a believer, who gets away from the Lord and gets involved in sin, and then the Lord comes back? What happens to that person? And the pastor said, well, that person misses out. That person goes to hell. The rope breaks, so to speak. And the follow-up question was, okay, well, Pastor, what if you had a Christian who is struggling through some things and there's still some unconfessed sin in his heart, her heart, but the Lord comes back, and what happens to that person? And the answer was the same. The rope breaks. That person goes to hell. There are a lot of people that believe that. I want you to know I reject that totally. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast." The anchor holds, and that rope is never going to break. Now, the Apostle Paul founded this church in Thessalonica. And the church, he was only there for a short time, as short as 3 weeks, as long as probably 6 months before persecution caused him to have to leave. And the believers there were doing well. They responded well to Paul. They responded to the preaching, and they were growing and growing, and they were excited. And Paul had taught them about the return of Christ. He had taught them about the rapture of the church. He taught them to be waiting for the Lord who was going to come and deliver them from the wrath that would come when the Antichrist assumed power. So they're waiting for all of this. But then something happened to these people. They heard a message, it says in chapter 2, verse 2. They were quickly shaken from their composure. They were disturbed because somebody came in and said they had a message from the Lord, and they had a letter supposedly from Paul that said, "Hey, you Thessalonians, you missed it. You missed the rapture. You probably got some sin in your life, and the Lord says, no, not you, and you missed it, and now you're in the day of the Lord, and you're going to experience the wrath of God." And it blew them out of the water. It shook them to the core because they said, that's just opposite of what Paul told us. He told us to be waiting for the Lord, that the Lord was going to come in the clouds, that the Lord was going to get us. And man, I guess we missed it. I guess there was too much sin in our lives. And I guess the rope broke. And I guess now we're, you know, if you miss the rapture, that's awful. And now we're going to go through all this terrible wrath. And so they were freaked out and they were scared and they needed some good news. And so in chapter 2, Paul gives them good news. Now, he tells them, hey, you didn't miss the rapture, and you're not in the day of the Lord, because in the day of the Lord, the Antichrist, the man of sin, is going to be revealed, and these terrible things are going to happen. He's going to present himself in the temple of God, displaying himself as God, and there's going to be persecution. There's going to be terrible, horrible things. You're not in the day of the Lord. Now, you're experiencing persecution because persecution is part of the deal, but you're not in the day of the Lord. You're not experiencing the wrath of God. And he goes on to tell them this is what it's going to be like for those who are left behind. But now let's talk about you. What is it like for you? And that's where he picks up in verse 13. "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." Paul gave them good news. Good news for God's people. And it really has to do with this rope of salvation. I really want you to see it not so much as a rope, but as a chain. A chain with four links, four unbreakable links that Paul gives here in the verses that we read. Link number one, the Lord loves us. Those of us who are his children, we can rest in the fact that God loves us. He says in verse 13, "We should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord." Hey, you are people who are loved by the Lord. And God hasn't destined you for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're loved by him. He loves you. Now, he doesn't love you because of who you are. He loves you because of whose you are. I have three daughters, and I love my girls not because of who they are, but because they're mine, because they belong to me. And no matter what they may do in life, no matter how many bad decisions they could possibly make, I would never stop loving them. Why? Because they're mine. They're my girls. They're my children. So it is with God. When you are born into the family of God, you become his child, and God loves his children. And God will never stop loving his children. Scripture says, most familiar verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, God loves everyone. And if God loves everyone enough to give his son while we were yet, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if he loves us while we're sinners, how much more, the scripture says in Romans chapter 5, will he show his love toward those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus? God loves us, and we are beloved by the Lord. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, the Lord says to his people, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Loved you with an everlasting love. John 17, verse 23, in Jesus' high priestly prayer, he prays to the Father. He said, Father, let them know that you love me even as you have loved them. God loves you the way God loves Jesus. And Jesus loves you, the scripture says in John 15, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. The Father loves me as much as he loves the Son. The Son loves me as much as the Father loves him. Man, that is a lot of love. And the Bible asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of God? Romans chapter 8 asks that question. And it says this, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress? They were going through tribulation and distress in Thessalonica. Or persecution? They were going through that. Is that going to separate us from the love of Christ? Or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Of course not. And then he says this, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Now, remember this. God doesn't love you because you're valuable. You're valuable because he loves you. He's just chosen to love us. You know, we can get the idea, well, you know, God should love me because I'm such a great guy. I'm such a great girl, you know. And of course God loves me because look how great I am. That's not how you're supposed to view that. God doesn't love me because I'm valuable, because there's anything great in me. I'm valuable because he loves me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He loves a wretch like me. Now, in the Gospel of John, the Apostle John never refers to himself as John the Apostle, John the Disciple. He always refers to himself in this way. Four times you read it. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved. And you know, you can look at that and say, well, that's kind of boastful, that's kind of proud, that's kind of arrogant. I mean, look at me, I'm the disciple Jesus loved. I don't know about Peter and James and Philip and Andrew, but I know about me, I'm the disciple Jesus loved. That's not how he meant it. He meant it like this. Wow, can you believe this? That a wretch like me is loved by him. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves. You think about how your life would be different if you really and truly believe that God loves you, and on your worst day, when you're doing the absolute worst and you're so out of fellowship with God, he still loves you. See, God doesn't have a love like some of us did when we were younger. Do you remember when you'd pick up a daisy and there was some girl or some guy you kind of liked at school, and you'd be, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. And you would hope that it would be on, he loves me. Because if he loves me not, it's like, ah, crud, this isn't going to work out. This third grade romance is not going to make it, you know? Well, some people have that, they have daisy theology. And so they think, well, I'm doing good, he loves me. Oh, but then I had a bad day, a bad experience. I lost my temper. I did this. I did that. He loves me not. Oh, but then I'm doing better. He loves me. Oh, but then I'm doing bad again. He loves me not. And you go up and down and up and down and up and down. Hey, Jesus said, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. And we don't have to be afraid that the Lord is going to kick us out. We can rest in his love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I like that song that says, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of the love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Even me. And you know, it's easy, and I've told you this before, it's easy for me to say that God loves you. Because see, here's the thing. I don't know you through and through. I don't know you in and out. I know me through and through. I know me in and out. I know all of my weaknesses, all of my faults, all of my failings. And so when you know yourself that well and you think, how could God love me when I do this and when I do that and when I do the other? But he does. He does. He has set his love upon us. These Thessalonians, they're just like you and me. They're not perfect people. They're young believers in the Lord. And they struggle with things just like you and I struggle with things. But they're beloved by God. And he says in verse 16, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us. So that's the first link in the chain. God loves you. The second link in the chain, good news for God's people. Not only does the Lord love us, but the Lord chose us. It says in verse 13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. The Lord has chosen us. Now, God's love for us motivated him to send his son to the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Christ's love for us motivated him to say to the Father, not my will, but yours be done. And that motivated Jesus to go to the cross. And the cross is God's love letter to us. As someone said, I asked Jesus how much he loved me and he stretched out his arms and died. That proves to you that God loves you. Because before you were ever born, Jesus Christ died for you. And while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. And so the cross makes it possible for us to have salvation. When Jesus died upon the cross and breathed his last and said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. The Bible says there was an earthquake and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. From top to bottom, not bottom to top. If a man were going to tear the veil, he'd have to do it from bottom to top. God tore the veil from top to bottom, and the veil that separated the people from the holy of holies, from the holiness of God, it was open now. You could come and have access to God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And he says that we have been chosen. Those who are believers in Jesus have been chosen from the beginning. From the beginning. Say, with the beginning of what? From in the beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We have been chosen from the beginning. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. Chosen. It's such a wonderful thing to be chosen. Now that brings up a big question. How does God choose? What is the basis of God's choice? Is it just willy-nilly? God just goes through the Rolodex of every person that's ever going to be born. This is before the foundation of the world. And he's like, well, I'm going to pick Jeff, but I'm not going to pick Jim. I'm going to pick Betty, but I'm not going to pick Sarah. I'm going to pick this person. I'm not going to pick that person. God does not do it like that. It's a divine choice based on foreknowledge. And when the Bible talks about God choosing, it says he chooses based on his foreknowledge. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens who are chosen, how are they chosen? According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. And here's the deal about God. He can choose before the beginning, before the foundations of the earth, and he can choose based on what he knows, because God is the God, Isaiah 46, verse 10, who declares the end from the beginning. God is God. He knows everything that's going to happen before it ever happens. And before he ever created this world, he knew that Adam and Eve would sin. He knew that it would plunge the world into sin. He knew that the only way to remedy the sin problem was for him to send his son, for the second person in the Trinity, the Lord Jesus, to become a man and to die on the cross for our sins, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 says that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundations of the world. And so the Lord knew all that, and he knew those who would trust him before he ever created this world, before the foundations of the world. He knew it all, and he chose those who would trust him before the foundations of the world according to his foreknowledge. He predestined us according to his foreknowledge, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And to whom he predestined, these he also called. And to whom he called, these he also justified. And to whom he justified, these he also glorified. How did he do that? When did he do that? In the beginning, according to his foreknowledge. Here's the thing. Don't get hung up on predestination, because here's the thing about predestination. God predestines according to what he knows you're going to do. It doesn't mean that God makes you do it. It just means that God knows that you're going to do it. God knows everything in your life because he knows the end from the beginning. He's seen the movie of your life.
Do you want to know what the end of your life movie will be? If you know Christ personally, not know of him, but know him personally as a surrendered child of God, then your movie has a guaranteed happy ending. Today's message was part one of the lesson entitled, Good News for God's People. And Pastor Jeff will continue this tomorrow, so be sure to be with us then. Now, the main question for you today is this, and don't miss this. Do you feel secure in your salvation? Or do you feel like it's a frayed rope that can snap at any time? Lots of people do, but you don't have to feel that way. God doesn't want you to be skeptical of his love. He wants you to be assured and confident, so you'll be bold in sharing this good news. Why is that so important? Because we, you and me, all of us, are in the last days, and people need to come to Christ now. This message is one of eight in Pastor Jeff's new series, The Church in the Last Days, and we're airing it this month. If you're able to make a gift to From His Heart this month of any amount to support this ministry, we want to say thank you by sending you the entire series, 8 messages, on CDs, a USB flash drive, or as an immediate MP3 download. Your choice. Just simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. We know these lessons will comfort you, encourage you, and help you not be scared of the future, but prepared for it. Again, call 866-40-BIBLE. Or go online to fromhisheart.org, request the series, The Church in the Last Days, when you make your gift. Well, a big thanks for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be here tomorrow to hear more good news from Pastor Jeff and the message, Good News for God's People. That's on Tuesday, when we again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.